Let us take a few moments to be quiet as we prepare to hear a little bit about Teze. So those are the bells you hear as you are called to worship in the Teze Community Church. So what is Teze besides a small village in Burgundy, France? It is a place of pilgrimage for people from every nation under heaven, a place to find God. It has an emphasis on young people seeking ways to follow God. But it is also for people of all ages. It is a place. It is an experience. It is a style, a sound, and a pilgrimage, and above all, a community. It is about a journey for life with God. What Teze isn't, it's not a denomination of Christianity. It's not Protestant, it's not Roman Catholic, and it's not Orthodox. But it is actually a mixture of all these and more. Its brothers come from many nationalities and Christian beliefs and backgrounds. In many ways, this reminds me of the St. Thomas community and the different traditions we have come from, albeit within Anglicanism. That is not the only similarity, because Teze attracts many people from around the world. They have to interpret their music, prayer and worship into many languages. At St. Thomas's, we're in the midst of an international melting pot of languages and cultures, which is a great similarity. The brothers do many jobs of work within the community, but come together united in prayer, music, teaching and worship, just as we do in the St. Thomas community. It is a place of experience around a style, a sound and a community. Pilgrims, as I say, come from all over the world for this experience. Mainly the young, but older ones as well. I know of a pilgrim who goes every year, COVID permitting, who is nearly 70 years old, and she's by no means the oldest person. The experience, as I say, is about meeting God and other people. It is completely structured around this. When the pilgrims arrive, they attend what is called an acruial, which is a greeting and a welcome. And you're told where you are staying, which may be in a hut, very simple, or you may have bought your own tent to pitch. You're told where to find your food and where the church is, and the Bible study sessions that are going to take place. And also a big part of being community is that all the pilgrims have to do a piece of work or a job while they're there. The work can be anything from cleaning to welcoming pilgrims, preparing food or washing up. The experience is basic, as is the food, the accommodation, etc. But this is quite deliberate, as it enables the pilgrims to fully engage with the Bible study, the prayer, and the worship, and getting to know each other, and not be distracted by other worldly things. Even the work itself is prayerful, enables you to focus on God. Interestingly, this is very much like monastic communities in the traditional sense, and like our own new monastic community, which in itself is also a mix of work, prayer, and worship, as individuals, and of course in community. A day at Taizé is structured very simply. It begins and ends with prayer. After morning prayer and Eucharist, there is breakfast and then workshops of Bible reflection. More prayer followed by lunch, free time, doing your jobs and chores, and getting to know fellow pilgrims. Further workshops, supper, and the highlight is evening prayer. You can be silent in Taizé worship, or you can fully be immersed and fully join in. It doesn't matter what you prefer. There is a place and a space for you in Taizé. It's very much that people go there for about a week, and it is very much that you are on a journey, as we are all on a journey. The most intense part of being at Taizé for the brothers and their visitors is the prayer and worship. Interestingly, the church is striking and is designed and feels like a large boat. It is painted very distinctively and has dark orange coverings. There are candles burning in little niches in the wall. There are icons on the wall and a large cross with the image of Christ on it. There are no pews. The brothers use small kneeling stools. The worship uses chants that are repetitive and often build to a great crescendo. This reminds me very much of the Jesus prayer that Simon talked to us about last week. It also brings in all the things of the Protestant Church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Orthodox Church. The chants are interspersed with intercessions, and the chants are repetitive and simple with haunting tunes and melodies, and they're mainly focusing on the needs of the world. The evening sessions of worship take on a flow all of their own. If the pilgrims want to continue in that flow, these sessions can last for hours, going on late into the night. The experience, I understand, is indescribably profound, and is a true liminal space where the veil between heaven and earth is very thin. I'm going to share something else now with you, just to give you a sample of the type of tune and music. Thank you. I hope that that gave you a flavour of what it's like. It was one of the quieter melodies. There are others that build up to the greater crescendos, but it's a very haunting piece of music. In a few moments, we're going to experience a little bit of their prayer style. There are two exercises, but we're only going to do one exercise today because of we are obviously limited by the time we have at the moment. But before we do that, I just want to give you a little bit of the background of Taizé as it is today and how it came about. Taizé, as we know it, was founded by somebody called Brother Roger, who was born in 1915. He was originally from Switzerland. He was a Protestant by birth and training. He was in Taizé during the Second World War. And Taizé sat on the border between the Nazi-held France and the Vichy-controlled areas. And Brother Roger helped many refugees and Jews. But he was eventually reported to the Gestapo. Fortunately, he managed to escape and returned to Taizé after the war. And he returned with a small group of brothers, resolving to live the Christian life in simplicity. Simplicity, kind-heartedness, would be lived out as essential gospel realities. From these small beginnings, the Taizé of today has evolved. Unfortunately, Brother Roger tragically died at the age of 90. He was stabbed to death during one of the evening prayer sessions by a 36-year-old woman from Romania in front of 2,500 worshippers. The woman was later diagnosed as being schizophrenic, but a testament to Taizé and the brothers and the worshippers. At Brother Roger's funeral, the focus of their prayers was on forgiveness for this woman. So I'm now going to share another screen with you so we can look at this exercise. I do apologise. I had got, I thought I'd put in Luke 10 to 25, sorry, 10, 25 to 37. On the sheet, but it doesn't seem to be there. But I'll talk you through the exercise anyway, and you can practice or try these at home if you're interested. So you basically read Luke 10:25-37, which is the Good Samaritan, and then you focus prayerfully on these following questions. Why does Jesus answer the law experts' questions with a question? Which people living near me show great generosity to others? What place do others have in my life? How important to me are their desires and needs? What barriers keep us from going towards others? And how can we surmount those barriers? And finally, how do we reply to those who say, I don't know what to do with my life? So those are things that you would prayerfully reflect on having read Luke 10. The suggestion then is that you read Luke 18:31-34, and then it will demonstrate how Jesus himself takes the place of the man who fell among thieves. So those are the exercises that I want to leave you with and to reflect upon. Thank you.